Well, we are on week 5 of the series, All Things Are Possible. Everybody enjoying the series? Amen. We've got this week and we've got next week, so we are going to conclude after 6 weeks, so this is week 5. And if I were to title the message this morning, I would title it, Fight Back. Fight Back. Can I get a woo or something? Yes, okay. Fight Back. How many know at some point, sometimes you've got to fight back, right? You have to learn what kind of battle you're in, and you have to fight back. So we're going to come out of the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 18. This is a very famous portion of scripture, and we're going to unpack this. I know that you will be encouraged this morning on what the Lord has to say. So 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 8, says, "Now the king of Syria was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such a place.' Then the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place. Don't pass by there, because the Syrians are going down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on guard in such places." So Elijah was getting prophetic insights on what was going on with the king of Syria. And king of Syria would set up these traps. And Elijah would warn the king of Israel, "Don't go down that way because they're waiting for you there." You guys follow this? So Elijah is this prophet, and the king had tested this. And time again, Elijah had rescued them from these ambushes by the enemy. Next verse. "So this enraged the king of Syria." How many of you want to be a people that enrages the enemy? Amen? "Enrages the king of Syria, and he summoned his officers and demanded of them, 'Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?'" One of you is a traitor, is what he was thinking. "And they said, 'None of us, my lord the king,' said one of his officers, 'but Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom.'" Wow, now that's some power right there. "Go and find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." And the report came back, "He is in Dothan." "Then he sent his horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city where Elijah was. When the servant of Elijah of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet Elijah answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" How interesting. "Elijah prayed, 'Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, 'Strike this army with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked." I hope you guys are excited to hear the word this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your holy, infallible scripture. We thank you for the word of the Lord, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, your word cuts off excess things, cuts off excess fat. It encourages, it equips, it instructs. And I pray that you would breathe upon the word this morning a special anointing that would encourage your people, instruct your people. God, I pray that you would cause us to rise up in faith, to see what is going on in the spiritual realm, and to give us the tools, Lord, that we can move forward and fight the enemy and fend him off as he seeks to come against us. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says a hearty amen. Amen. Let me grab a drink of water. Fight back. I wonder, as Christians, if we have adopted a certain mentality or maybe a presupposition about what it means to be a Christian. And so what we've decided what it means to be a Christian is we get the nice, you know, Christian haircut, right? We wear the nice Christian clothes. We get the cool Christian bumper sticker and we put it on the back of our car. Come on now. And we get mad at the atheist with the little legs under the fish when we drive up to the stop sign. And we sort of construct our little idea of what Christianity really is. It's all about just going to church and having a good time and fellowshipping and laughing and, you know, being very good and helping grandma across the streets and, you know, doing acts of service in the community. And all these things might be a portion or an aspect of the Christian life. But at the end of the day, as believers, we have to understand that we are right in the middle of a spiritual war zone. We are in the middle of a spiritual war zone, whether we are aware of this or not, whether we like it or not. This is the reality of what's happening all around us. And what the enemy loves to do is he loves to put little blinders on our eyes as believers or as unbelievers. So we live in our little world and we see through our little bubble and we're in the context of our daily life of getting up every morning, going to work, raising our kids, going to the bus stop, getting our coffee, you know, dealing with the issues of our day. And if the enemy can keep us focused on life and just the day-to-day things that we do, and we think that that's what it's all about, he has successfully closed our eyes or blinded our eyes, shut our eyes to the spiritual reality of what's really going on around us. Because whether we know it or not, there is a fierce war going on in the invisible realm all around us all the time. And here we are totally unaware of what's happening in this other dimension. You guys with me? Some of you, this might seem strange, it might seem new to you, but we need to open up the Word of God and understand that there is a battle for life and a battle for death. And there's a devil out there, there are devils and demons out there are angels out there, there's good, there's evil, there's heaven, there's hell, there is a spiritual war zone, and we are in that war zone, and in fact, we are the objects of that war in many respects. Now, I want to take us through this because as believers, all of these things that we do in our lives, at the end of the day, we are going to have to learn how to become spiritual warriors. Because if you're in a war, you have to learn to become a warrior. Now, you might not want to be a warrior, but you have no choice but to become a warrior. Amen? You might not like the idea of being a warrior, but you have no choice because the battle is here. Whether you want to be in the battle or not, you're in a battle. There's an enemy coming after you. There's an enemy putting thoughts on you. There's a culture war going on. There's all these things that are shifting and moving in the spiritual dimension, and you have to know how to put on an armory, and you have to learn how to fight. And until you can spiritually see what's going on, then you are incapable of operating as a warrior in the kingdom of God, which would end up creating essentially a casualty of war. We don't want to be casualties of war. We want to be victorious in the war. Amen? So that's interesting. I have my notes from last week. How helpful. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Now the king of Syria was at war with Israel." The enemy was at war with Israel. It doesn't say Israel was at war with Syria. It says Syria was at war with Israel. The enemy was against Israel, was attacking Israel. And so Israel finds themselves in the middle of a war. And conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such a place. In other words, the king of Syria was strategizing and scheming on ways that he can attack the children of Israel, attack the king of Israel. You guys with me? So this is very symbolic. This is a natural war that was happening, which is an indication or a manifestation of something that was happening in the spiritual realm. Because the war always originates in the spiritual realm. Amen? Amen? Right. There's a war that's happening in the spiritual realm, and the enemy, just like the king of Syria, is setting up ambushes. And if we don't know about those ambushes, we're susceptible to becoming a casualty of the tactics and schemes of the devil. Amen? There's a real devil. There's a real war zone. And you and I are targets of the enemy. Now, you might ask yourself or say to yourself, what does the enemy have? Why would he have anything to do with me? I mean, he's probably going after, you know, rulers and kings and pastors and leaders and, you know, people that are more important, people that are trying to do things for the kingdom of God. Those are the people that the devil's after. That's not true. He is after those people, but he's also after you. And he's after me. Why? Because Jesus loves you. And because the enemy is mad at Jesus and opposes everything that Jesus stands for, he's going to go after God's kids. Whether you're a believer or you're an unbeliever, you are the object of the enemy attacking. Amen? There's nobody who has been exempt from this war. Not one person. Everybody is in this war. The enemy is coming after us. Not to freak you out or anything, because we're going to learn about how we have victory. But if we don't know we're in a war zone, if we pretend like there's no war, we pretend like there's no battle, we pretend like this isn't really happening, you're just opening yourself up to become a casualty of that war. Because the king of Syria was setting up ambushes for the children of Israel, actively scheming of ways to do this. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy," whose enemy? Your enemy, my enemy. He's not just the enemy of Jesus. He's the enemy of you and I. "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He's looking to set up traps, seeing who might go down that path to fall into that snare, to fall into that scheme, to get caught up in the snare of the enemy. Okay, so the Bible is crystal clear. There's no equivocations about it, that there is an enemy, and he is setting up schemes, and we have to be aware of what he's doing. Can I get an amen? Are we all on the same page? Now, in the next verse, in 2 Kings verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing by that place, because the Syrians are going down there.'" Do you guys see what's going on here? As the enemy is setting up ambushes and saying, "Let's camp here and let's camp there, because hopefully the children of Israel will go down that path and we'll be there ready to ambush them." There is a man of God, a spiritual seer, come on now, where the king of Israel could not see into the spiritual, Elijah the prophet could see into the spiritual and was able to inform the king of Israel where the enemy was setting up the ambush. And as the king of Israel, which, by the way, let's commend this king that he listened to the prophet. How many of you know if you listen to the prophet, God will spare you? If you listen to the word of God, you listen to the man of God, you listen to godly counsel, you heed the words and wisdom of godly men and women who are speaking into your lives, you can avoid the pitfalls that the enemy is setting up for you. Amen? So he says, "Beware of passing by that place." There are common traps that the enemy sets up. Common traps. If you're a parent, have you ever thought to yourself, man, I just want to teach my kid to not make the same mistakes I made, not to fall into the same traps and the same snares that I fell into? Look, there are some very common things that have worked for eons. And this bully sets up the same schemes, and he does it in churches all over. He does it in people's lives all over. And he just finds your little particular thing, and he sets up these little ambushes, and we are susceptible to walk right into them if we are not discerning what's happening in the spiritual realm. Amen? If we think that everything happening around us, everything we see, think, hear, feel is just natural, then we are blinded to what's happening in the invisible realm and what's really going on behind the scenes. And so there are common ambushes. The Bible says it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can take every scheme or snare from the devil and categorize it right in one of those three buckets. Amen? The lust of the flesh. Whatever it is that you want to do, whatever little impulse you have, whatever thing that tantalizes you, whatever coping mechanism, whatever little angle, the enemy tries to get us to fall right into that trap, a snare that so many people just walk into so easily over and over again. Myself included, every single one of us. It's the lust of the flesh. It's the lust of the eyes. It's the things we see, comparing ourselves to one another, coveting what our neighbor has, comparing ourselves to their money, their gifts, their talents, their spouse, their kids, and all these things. We always want more. We covet more. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a trap from the enemy. It steals the peace of God for you. It derails you from doing the things of God and causes us to fall right into an endless trap and a snare. Amen? The pride of life. Motivated by selfish ambitions and pride and always seeking to, you know more and do more and be better and get the accolades and be worshipped and be the man or be the woman. And no matter what it takes to get there, doesn't matter who you step on, you're going to climb that ladder. You're going to get that result. You're going to have the coolest kid. You're going to look down on the other moms because you got the cool kid with the cool haircut and you got the Nikes and you know what I'm saying? And we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and our lives become this rat race of comparison and pride and flesh and all of these things that when the devil took Jesus into the wilderness to tempt him, he tempted him in these three areas. The Bible says the devil showed him the kingdoms of the world. He said, take a look at this bread. You can turn this rock into bread, and you can eat it. It's the lust of the flesh. Jesus was hungry, by golly. So this eating bread's not bad, but disobeying God is bad, right? Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, over and over. Now, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Oh, you know what? Just jump off this mountain. Guess what? The angels will catch you and you'll float on down and everyone will know that you are special. Jesus, get behind me. Didn't work on him, did it? But it works on us. All too easy. Same bully, same tricks, same schemes, over and over and over again. He's an evil genius. Okay, you're not the first rodeo that he's had. He's been doing this for eons. In fact, he deceived a whole third of the angelic beings in heaven followed him. Not because he had two horns and a red suit, but because he was beautiful, because he was presentable, because he was so persuasive, because it seemed so right and it seemed so good and it seemed, you know, and he deceived Adam and Eve. We all know this is real stuff. Beware of passing by that place. Beware of these snares and traps that some of you already know them now. You've fallen in that trap so many times, you know that's a snare for you, right? So the prophet, the man of God, the word of God, the spirit of wisdom is telling you, oh, you can avoid going down that path because you know there's a snare there for you. You know, the Bible says, when Joseph was sold into slavery, then he ended up in Potiphar's house. Y'all know the story? Potiphar's house. And Potiphar basically gave Joseph command over his whole house. And then his wife, Potiphar's wife, was in there casting longing eyes on him, the Bible says. Meaning she was batting her little eyes. Just come on in. Come on in. Come on back into the bedroom with me. And he's like, no way. Like Potiphar, he's given me everything except for you. Why would I dishonor him that way? The Bible says she grabbed his garment and he loosed his garment, his coat, and ran out. See, there are some things that garment, that coat, wasn't a bad thing to wear. But if that garment was connecting him and pulling him in, he had to get off and loose himself of that thing that was trying to pull him into that bedroom with her. You guys follow me? Sometimes we avoid things that aren't even bad for the sake of them becoming a snare for us, right? It's not a sin to wear a coat. It's not a sin to, you know, watch TV. It's not a sin to do certain things. Unless we know there's a snare at the end of that thing for us. Amen? And the enemy has studied us. He studied me. He knows my fears. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my insecurities. He knows my temptations. He knows my trigger points. And he knows all of yours. Did you know that? He knows your wounds. He knows your background. He knows the things you've been through. He knows the things that he can say to you to mess you up. He knows how to trigger you. He knows how to just go in there and get you in a fight with your spouse. He knows just what to say, just how to accuse. Oh, you know, yeah, she doesn't really respect you. Oh, he doesn't really love you. You can't stand for that. Next thing you know, you're in a fight. When there's a fight, how did that start? The enemy has got in there somehow. Amen. This is what he does. There's snares, there's traps, and there's schemes. And the beauty of it is that we can learn to stand against this. In Ephesians 6:11, the Bible says, put on the full armor of God so what? You can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And so at some point, we have to put on a spiritual armor so that we can stand against every little scheme from the enemy. What I love about this portion of scripture in 2 Kings chapter 6 is that the children of Israel, because of the prophet Elijah, were diverting and avoiding these pitfalls, weren't they? Many of us don't. But they had been avoiding every pitfall that this king of Syria was dreaming up in his bedroom. So Elijah would see prophetically into the bedroom of this king of Syria and know what he was saying out loud. He knew what was going on. He knew how he was plotting and planning. And so Elijah warned the king of Israel and they avoided the pitfalls. How many know you can avoid the pitfalls? Amen. You listen to God and you heed what God is saying, you can avoid these traps and snares in our lives. We put on the full armor of God. Now, what happens next is pretty fascinating because the king, in verses 11 through 13, the king of Syria begins to get really frustrated because he begins to, he figures out, okay, Israel's on to us. There's nothing that ticks the devil off more than when he knows you're on to him. Oh, come on now. You didn't hear me. There's nothing that ticks the devil off more than when he knows you're on to him. Because the greatest warfare he has is to blind you from what he's doing. To blind you from even knowing that he exists or knowing that he's coming after you or knowing what he's doing or blaming somebody else in the natural for what he's doing. Come on now. So when you start to wake up to the plans and schemes of the devil, he doesn't like that. So the Bible says this enraged. It didn't just frustrate him. It enraged the king of Syria. I want to tick the devil off. Anybody else want to tick the devil? I want to be so elusive. I want to see what he's doing so far away. I want to see him coming from 2 miles away in the spirit that I duck and weave and dodge and hide and skirt around every scheme and trap and snare that the enemy tries to put in front of me to the point where he gets him so frustrated. How about we frustrate him instead of him frustrating us all the time? Amen. How about we divert his tactics instead of him trying to divert what we're doing in our lives? Amen. How about we start putting it on him on his heels, and we go on the offense rather than us always being the ones getting attacked? Can I get an amen? Oh, I hope you guys hear this. You can be a person who frustrates the enemy because he can't get an edge on you. And nothing makes him more mad when you bust loose from schemes and bondages and strongholds that he has had on you, and now you're busting loose. He will scream and have a fit and a temper tantrum like you have never seen. Amen? Let's give him a temper tantrum. Let's tick him off. Let's take our ground and stand our ground and make him be the one who's frustrated rather than us being the one who's frustrated. Some of us live our whole lives falling into every little thing he wants to do. So easy for him to do it to us. Doesn't even have to barely lift a finger. And our whole lives are, can't sleep. We're just a mess. We're just wrecked, fighting, confused, deceived, messed up. All kinds of things happening. Our life is like a ball of flame. When we can actually frustrate him. He says, who summoned his officers and demanded of them? Tell me which of us is on the side of, this is how bad it got for them. One of you is a traitor. This is what the enemy thought. I want the devil look into his little minions and say, did you flip? Did you flip? Did you go to the good side? Are you like Darth Vader went to the good side? I don't know if Darth Vader ever did go to the good side. But you know what I mean. How about that stormtrooper in the, what was the last one? It wasn't the last, what? Rogue One. Which stormtrooper is on the other side? Come on now. Tell me which one. The next verse. Here's what happens. None of us, my lord the king, said one of the officers. But Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Do you see what the Bible is saying to us? That the things that the enemy is plotting against you, God can give you insight to those things so that you can avoid what he's trying to do. You can divert. You can move around and cause those schemes to render useless in your life? The Bible says, oh my goodness. No weapon formed against you shall what? Prosper. We can be a people, the enemy can try everything against us, but he can't prosper. That weaponry that he's begun cannot be effective in our lives. Because there's somebody who can see into the spiritual. There's somebody who is aware of the warfare going on around us. Amen? The next verse. Here's what he says. Here's what the king of Syria says. Go and find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can what? Send men and capture him. And the report came back exactly where he was. How many of you know that the devil would love to silence the voice of God in your life? You see, once you wake up to this, once you're aware, once you've got, an insight, once you're finally starting to believe the Word of God, you're finally starting to read the Word of God, you're finally starting to pray, you're finally going to church, the pastor's preaching to you, and God's dealing with you, the Holy Spirit's ministering to you. Immediately, when you start stepping forward into that zone where you're starting to take victory and to take territory, he's going to try to snuff out the voice of God that has been directing you. Do you hear me? This is what he does. And so he found out that it was Elijah who was tipping off Israel to his schemes. So he says, you know what I'm going to do? The only way to win is to take out that voice. This is what the enemy, he wants to take out the voice that is speaking to you from God. Whether it's through distractions, whether it's through, you know, a failure, whether it's through offense and getting mad in church so you leave church because you're offended, whether it's because whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you can't hear the voice of God anymore. All of a sudden you don't have the direction and the voice and the prophetic utterance of God directing you and guiding you anymore. Oh, you better believe he tries these things. This is what he does. I'm a pastor. I see it happen like clockwork. Like clockwork. You see it in people's lives. As soon as they get a breakthrough, and it's like they're moving forward, all of a sudden, it's like confusion sets in, and the enemy's coming in. He's trying to divert and distract and to mess up the progress that God's people have made. He's not going to just lay down easily. You know what I mean? He's going to try every trick in the book. He's going to throw the whole kitchen sink at us. This is the reality. I don't want to say these things. I don't want to say these things, but I'm telling you right now, this is the spiritual reality that you're walking in. And if we don't learn to fight and to fight back, we are going to become casualty. We're going to get beat up, broken, messed up. We're going to have all kinds of problems. We're going to fall into every snare until we learn how to hear God's voice and how to take instruction and understand that the enemy's doing things in our lives that is trying to take out God's voice and direction. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11, watch what Paul does. What have I forgiven, if I have forgiven anything? It is for you in the presence of Christ. I've done this so that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. You see, what the enemy does is to cause division in church. This is what he does. If he can get you offended, if he can get you where you're not listening to God anymore, if he can get you where you're focused on things and people and issues all the time, you can no longer hear what God is saying to you. And so Paul says, I'm forgiving, and I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to forgive. If I've forgiven anything, it's for your sake in the presence of Christ. Sometimes you just need to turn the other cheek. Amen? Turn the other cheek so that that person doesn't get offended and then they can't hear from God. This is what happens. As soon as you're offended at me, you will not hear anything I have to say. Amen? As soon as you think you know more, you know all of that. As soon as you have postured yourself that way, my ministry becomes ineffective in your life. I hope you guys see that. As soon as your brother is, you're offended at your brother, you can't receive anything from that person. Impossible. So this is what the enemy does. He tries to silence and snuff out the voices of people who God has placed in your life to give you wisdom and to give you insight and to give you direction and to share the gospel so that you can't hear what God is saying any longer. It's a root of bitterness. It's offenses. If there's one thing this church needs to work on, all of us, we can't be easily offended. If we're easily offended, we're not hearing God. We can't say anything to each other. Nothing. We have to be able to interact with each other and not be so easily offended. Amen? Don't be so, start getting mad. You know, you have a retreat and you go to this retreat and you start being mad at everybody. You don't even want to be there anymore. How can you hear the voice of God? This is what he does. This is the scheme. You guys see this? This is how he works. Because if you can hear God's voice, then you are going to be in position to avoid the things he's trying to do to you, to render you ineffective and useless and you know, where you don't have the joy of the Lord and you can't work for the kingdom. Amen? Doctrinal things. One little doctrinal thing the pastor says that you don't agree with and you can't hear anything from him anymore. That's dangerous. Nobody agrees with me 100% or with you 100%, except for you. God doesn't even agree with you 100% on your doctrine. Or me. Amen? If you can agree with 80%, come on now. 80%. Now 50% of it you don't agree with, you might have to find another church because you can't hear anything from me. But when you believe, oh, this church is authentic, this pastor is anointed, this is a real deal, I'm here to learn, I'm here to grow, I'm here to hear what the Lord, not what the man has to say. What is the Lord saying to me this morning? Amen. If you're here and you're trying to hear from a man, you'll never hear anything. They heard from a prophet. They knew the Lord was speaking. He tested it out. The king of Israel, hey, let's go down there. Yep, actually the enemy's right there. Test out the things that the man of God is saying to you and see if they be true in your life. Amen? I had one kid who, years ago, this was when we first started, a couple years ago, just disagreed with me. Everything. Like nothing I taught was accurate. And this kid had no joy, no peace, no love, you know, just a mess. I'm thinking, you know, maybe you should listen to me. Where's your joy? Where's your peace? You know, where is it? Because if your doctrine is so, you're so accurate, where's your joy and victory? Where is it? I don't see it. That's not what I said to him. I was thinking this. Right? Be wary of those little nuances and, oh, look at the style that they did, you know. They didn't got the right style. I don't like the way they did communion. I don't like the way they did that. Be careful of those things because God's trying to speak to you. And he uses the foolishness of preaching and a preacher and ministry and stuff to speak to you. You can hear from God on your own too, right? But as soon as there's one little thing, the enemy can just wiggle it right in there. All of a sudden, everything becomes dark. You got to go find who you can listen to. Amen? I say this out of experience because, you know, I was in a church for 15 years, groomed up in me. I didn't agree with everything. But when you know that God is resting on a ministry, you need to discern what is the Spirit saying to me. Not what this dude is saying. As soon as you look at the dude, and you humanize it so much where, oh, that's just, he doesn't, you know. No, what is the Holy Spirit actually saying? Because God uses imperfect people to speak his perfect word. Amen? It's a perfect God who uses imperfect people. So if you're looking for perfection in the person, you'll always be disappointed. Amen? This is a snare. He wants to silence the voice of God in your life. In the next verse, verse 15. Oh boy, can we have the worship come up? That way I stop sooner because it's already 20. Is it really 23 after? We just got started. I'm still in my intro, you know? When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city, and the servant goes out. Do you guys follow the story? The servant of Elijah goes out, and the enemy had surrounded them. How many know if the pre-plotted snares don't work? He's just going to come with a full frontal attack on you. Amen? Ah, it's not working. Come on, let's round them all up, and let's go surround him and try to freak him out. Let's just capture him that way. Let's capture him with fear. We'll capture him with distraction. We'll capture him with decisions. We'll capture him. We'll surround him. We'll do a full frontal attack because these other little tactics that work on most people, they're not working on Elijah. So they send it out, and the servant goes out who has no spiritual discernment at all, only sees the natural. He says, oh, no, my Lord. What are we going to do now? You see, this is what the enemy does. If he can try to overwhelm you with circumstances and freak you out, and you only see what's happening in the natural, you'll be like this servant and say, oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? It's over. We're finished. It's done. Elijah didn't think that way. He didn't think that way at all. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has what? Blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The devil has blinded those who are in unbelief because they cannot see the truth of the gospel. It's foolishness to them. Christ is a fool. This is the work of the enemy blinding the hearts of man. You see, but God, by His Spirit, can unlock your understanding so that you believe the gospel. You believe what's happening in the spiritual realm. You begin to see through a different lens. You have a spiritual awakening that only comes from God. You are born again by the Spirit. Now you can see into the spiritual. Amen? You can see into the spiritual. Not everything is natural. There is a spiritual discernment. There's a spiritual anecdote. There's a spiritual analysis that's going on here. So in the next verse, 2 Kings 16, Elijah tells the servant who's tripping out. Could you imagine waking up, getting out of your tent, you know, walking out, and there's just a whole army surrounding you? Not 10 dudes, an army. A whole army surrounding you. And Elijah's like, what you worried about? Don't be afraid, the prophet's saying. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, if you can't see into the invisible, you have to be thinking to yourself, you've gone crazy, Elijah. Because just do the math. I mean, look at the circumstances. Look at what's happening right in front of your eyes. Look at what you can see in the natural. Because in the natural, the doctor's report doesn't look good. The finances don't look good. The marriage doesn't look good. Come on now. My body doesn't feel good. The situation doesn't seem good. The natural circumstances will speak something to you. And if that's all you see, you'll be just like that servant and say, oh goodness, what are we going to do now? But when you can see a glimpse into the spiritual reality, God can show you that there is something happening in the spiritual realm that transcends and supersedes what's happening in the natural realm. Because when the enemy has you surrounded in the natural, God has the enemy surrounded in the invisible realm. And there's more warriors of God, angels, and power from heaven that's working in your corner than what's working in the devil's corner. That's why you can say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's why you can say, I will not fear what is happening in my life. He says, don't be afraid. There's more of them. In the next verse, and Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that they may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. You see, when you have a spiritual discernment, you won't lose your peace based on what's happening in the natural, because you see what's happening in the supernatural. You know there's a God. You know that there's a power of God. You know that the Holy Spirit is on your behalf. You know that God is working behind the scenes. You know that things that appear and present themselves in the natural are not the true reality. The true reality is what's happening in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, behind the scenes, that only a discerning, spirit-filled Christian can see. And as you renew your mind, and you believe God, and you begin to recognize what the enemy's doing, and you begin to see what's happening in the spiritual, God will begin to remove these blinders from your eyes. And you'll say, oh, I see now. I see now. I thought I was in a bad shape, but the devil's in a bad shape. Amen? I thought I was the condemned one, because he keeps telling me that. Actually, he's the condemned one. I thought I was trapped, but he's trapped. I thought my days were numbered, but actually, the devil's days are numbered. I thought the devil had the power. I thought that situation had a power over me, but actually, you have a power and authority over the situation. Amen? Oh, I thought that whatever the devil threw at me, whatever it looked like, that was just going to be what happens. But what the devil meant for evil, God will work out for good in your life. Psalm 3:6, listen to David. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. What? Are you crazy, David? How can you not be afraid of thousands of people setting themselves against you? One man, because he had spiritual insight. David knew when he took on Goliath that Goliath was defying the children of Israel. He was defying the God of all heaven and earth. When the enemy surrounds you, he is defying the God who loves you and who created you. So when you see into the spiritual, you're not afraid of the thousands of people that are setting themselves against you, because you see that they're surrounded. Amen? Now, most sermons end right here. This is where it usually ends. Open your eyes. See into the spiritual. Hallelujah. I'm going to go one step further. Is that okay? I want to take you to verse 18. Because what good is it to see into the spiritual if you don't do anything about it? What good is it to know what's going on in the supernatural and you don't yield any power against it? What good is it to see and know what the devil's doing and know God's on your side and you just sit there and do nothing? You have authority, the Bible says. You walk in authority. You have a spiritual sword. The Bible says Elijah and the enemy came down toward him. So the enemy in the natural comes down toward him. And Elijah did what? Prayed to the Lord. You see, it's not just good enough to see what's going on. You've got to take action. You've got to know that you can take a step and you can walk in faith and you can fight back. Amen. He said, strike this army with blindness. The same way he blinded my servant, the same way the enemy's blinding people, blind the enemy. And so he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. You know, the Bible said these great prophets, Elijah, they're just mere men. He doesn't carry anything that you don't carry on your life. Do you know that? You walk in an authority that God has given you to trample on every scorpion and every evil thing that would try to seek to surround you. And you're going to have to learn how to take your shield of faith and your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and start to wield that sucker and start to speak back to the devil and start to pray in faith. and to start to expect things in the supernatural and start to operate in a warfare that maybe you've never operated in before. And you will find as you start praying and you believe and you see the enemies trying to attack your marriage and you see the enemies trying to attack your kids and you see the enemies trying to mess with you in this way and that way, you can start to understand what he's doing and fight back. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Somebody in the church starts attacking you, just love them back. Somebody trying to start division, just humble yourself. Ah, devil, you're not going to get in here. You're not going to divert this thing. You're not going to mess this thing up. I'm just going to humble myself. I'm just going to let it roll off my back like nothing. Amen? You see how the enemy works and you fight back. Sometimes you fight back with love. Sometimes you fight back with humility. Sometimes you fight back with grace. Sometimes you fight back with speaking the word. The Bible says Jesus spoke the word to the devil in the wilderness. He didn't just play patty cakes with the devil. He didn't have a conversation with it. It wasn't a conversation. It was, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. You start quoting and speaking and yielding the sword of the Spirit, what is written in the Word of God, you'll start to see breakthrough and miracles in your life. You start to read and marinate in the Word of God. Listen to a sermon every once in a while. Not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. You'll find yourself winning spiritual battles you never thought possible. Amen? God's looking for us to be a people that learn how to see and fight back. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your love. God, I thank you that even now, God, you're opening the eyes of your people. I thank you that you're unlocking the secrets of heaven, God, that you are showing your people that whatever the enemy is saying to them, however the enemy is surrounding them, to make them feel trapped, that you have spoken and declared this morning that there are more with us than against us. The greater is he who is in us than he who is against us. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for this. We praise you for this, and we thank you for the faith of being able to operate in a warfare that we can't see. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.